Hello, welcome to the Perceptive Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. Hope you're doing well. This is our 235th episode of the podcast. If you have ever tried to put together a piece of furniture from IKEA, this podcast is for you. It's all about the nature of instructions and using instructions to ultimately put together, in our case, what would be a great photograph or a photographic process. But anybody who knows who's ever put together a piece of IKEA furniture, that one, you usually have extra parts. Two, about halfway through, you realize you've assembled it upside down and backwards. You have to take everything apart and start over again. Or three, you get the set of instructions, and for some reason, you have a friend who intuitively understands instructions, is able to come together and put your furniture up and installed in about 5 minutes. If you're not one of those IKEA people, you also know that sometimes you get instructions given to you. Maybe you're taking a road trip or you're going to a friend's house and they give you directions. And they give you directions that don't make any sense. So their instructions on how to get to their house or how to get to the party don't make any sense. They don't use street names. They don't use directions. Maybe they use landmarks, or maybe you like landmarks and they only give you the street names. But instructions are fundamental to the way we operate and the way we do things, particularly in our creative life. Whether we know it or not, we're oftentimes following the same set of instructions over and over again. And that's what I wanted to talk today about in the podcast was how instructions can be used to benefit our creative process, and also sometimes how they can be a detriment. One of the things as a photo educator that I hear sometimes, and it's that phrase that people like to use when they like to berate and degrade our educational process and the teachers, and they say those who can't teach. And I think that statement's a little misleading for a lot of reasons, because I don't think it's true on pretty much any level. But one of the things that I think that phrase could be done is those who can't teach can't explain. That part of the job of being able to explain something to somebody is that you're teaching them in a way that they can actually understand, in a way that they can process, assimilate, and then apply what you're trying to teach them. Your own creative process has its own set of instructions that you follow. And recently, with this notion of teaching, understanding what we actually do, being able to communicate that to others, thinking about putting together that IKEA furniture, I got to wondering, like, what if we actually had to write down the set of instructions for our photography, for our creative practice, for the things we create? So even if you're a sculptor or a painter, could you write down a set of instructions on how you actually make the thing that your creativity compels you to or drives you towards? In the case of a photograph, if I ask you to list out all the steps necessary, all the instructions for taking a photograph, could you actually do that? And to what degree would you set up those set of instructions? Some people might start off with click the shutter. Some people might start off with put a battery in the camera. Some people might start off with go and get the camera out of the camera bag. Some people might just say, look at the photograph after you've taken it. There's all these different kind of places we start in our photography's description of how we create the photograph. The challenge that I would propose that you take on this week is to actually write out a set of instructions and write down how you actually go about making a photograph from a couple of different perspectives. One, from the technical side, how do you actually technically make the photograph? What do you make decisions on first? What do you make decisions on second? Do you decide shutter speed first? Do you decide f-stop first? Are there different situations where you might decide that? So do you have a decision tree that happens in your set of instructions? Also, how do you go about your post-processing and your editing? Is there a process and a set of instructions and a set of workflows that you follow there? Instructions are mostly useful when they're repeatable. So that's one of the things that a process does. It's one of the reasons a checklist comes involved, writing down a set of instructions. It implies that things happen in a certain order. Sometimes we can violate that order. We can change that order. It doesn't necessarily matter maybe what order the ingredients go in, but it does matter that it gets baked at a certain temperature at a certain time, and then additional ingredients get added later. Or maybe you're making a photograph, and you're going to do some editing, but you're going to composite something. So maybe it's about the order at which you would composite the photograph. Understanding all of those elements are going to make you aware of where the shortcomings are in your creative process. So this is kind of the benefit of doing this exercise. We instinctively know how to do a lot of things, We also know things we know. We also know things we don't know. But there's a lot of things that we forget in our creative process. There's a lot of things we forget in our creative practice because they're not in that instinctual known level. They're a thing that happens on occasion. And our goal in coming up with a set of instructions for our creative process is to make us aware of where are those gaps? What are the things we might forget? What are the things we only have a slight awareness of? And even in the critique process, in the review of your own work process, having a set of instructions that you could follow on a repeatable, consistent basis would help you gain some insights into your work. So would you look at the technical aspects first? Would you look at the narrative story first? Would you look at, in some photographs, maybe you look at narrative first, technical second, vice versa? How do you go about making those decisions? So much of our process, so much of what we do is decision-making. And small little decisions, small little steps make all the difference in the world. If you've put together a piece of IKEA furniture, you know if you skip a step, ultimately you're going to pay the price down the road when the thing doesn't fit together, or the door doesn't open, or the cabinet doesn't open, or the drawer tries to slide out the back of the unit instead of the front of the unit. Every step becomes important to getting the final object assembled. Why would a photograph be any different? Why would the steps and processes we take to make the photograph occur differently? I don't think they do. When we look at photographs where there's a significant fall off, a significant break in the experience of the photograph, chances are it's because we didn't do something. We didn't check the corners of the frame. We didn't properly expose. We didn't properly establish a point of view. We didn't decide on a particular point of view we were going to have about the subject we were taking. Whatever it is, odds are we've missed some core element in our set of instructions for our photographs. The challenge becomes oftentimes we miss the same thing over and over again. So by writing down the actual steps you make to make a photograph, the steps you would take to create that photograph from cradle to grave, beginning to end, what are all the things necessary to do for you to feel like you got a successful photograph? And I don't mean a great photograph you'd necessarily hang on the wall, but just one that you actually successfully got from conceptualization to realization through an editing process. What are all those things? Are there things that you notice that you repeat unnecessarily? Are there things where you notice you might rush through something? Are there certain aspects of what you do when you approach your work that make you realize that you're happier when you're doing those things than when you're doing something else? Creativity and energy thrives in work and in effort. It also thrives in things that bring us joy. So if there's aspects of your sets of instructions that don't bring you a great amount of joy, maybe it makes sense to rearrange the order of those instruction sets. Maybe cleaning your camera gear is not something you enjoy, or getting it organized. Maybe that's something you do the day before the shoot because you can move it around as you build your set of instructions. Whatever it is, we need to identify what those things are. And then visualize what can be done to make it better. So one of the things that happens in post-processing is I watch people work in, say, Photoshop or Lightroom, and they do the same exact behaviors over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And it's not necessarily it's a waste of time. Maybe for some people it's just meditative to work through the menus and the clicks and the layers and the brush strokes and all of that. But a lot of that can be automated. So one of the ways in Photoshop that you can automate that is by creating an action. So you have to record every step and click and menu item you would use to perform a certain set of functions. The benefit of doing that work, of attempting to automate that work, is that anywhere you miss a step, it no longer operates. The action will actually break in Photoshop. Your creative process is very much the same way. Anywhere where there's a missing gap, something you forgot to do, the process is going to break down. So part of the process of getting to the point where you could write an action in Photoshop is knowing what every single step is. In your creative process, knowing what every single step is going to allow you to not have a bunch of broken, ad hoc, stutter step movements through the creative practice. When we're able to avoid those stutter steps or those stop and starts, we can start to get an interesting kind of space created in our creative practice. So much of our early process and our creativity is in the how mechanism. It's in the how do we take a good photograph? How do we make a good painting? How do we create something that we find interesting? Eventually, we start to realize we want to create more meaningful work, not necessarily for everybody else, but at least for ourselves. And so we start to look at the why we create work and the when we create it and the what is it about? What is it for? What is it trying to say? Those elements come from a different part of our creative cycle, a different part of our creative process. So in our language of photography and the grammar of photography that we use, we have to break those different various elements apart so we understand what each one of them is bringing to the table. The exercise of understanding the instructions and building your instructions are really about starting to remove some of the noise in the background on the how, what, when, and why you would create a photograph. Because if you can identify those core elements, if you can identify some of those reasons, it might provide you with an opportunity to push yourself in a direction you hadn't considered before, to find a gap in your instructions and fill in that gap, or maybe to realize that there's things you're doing you don't need to be doing anymore. You did them because you were learning. You did them because you were trying to break a bad habit. You did them for whatever reason, but you're no longer in a space that requires you to hold on to that behavior. We have a bucket of creativity. If that bucket is full of garbage, there's no room for anything new to come in. So by clearing the space, clearing the decks on that, we're going to be able to have more space for something new to come in and fill up and create something new with the energy it provides, rather than having to bypass us because the bucket's full. So getting that awareness of all those different elements, I think you'll be surprised at what can come up in your creative life. I would encourage you this week to spend some time as you're shooting to take a notebook with you, or if you're processing on the computer, to take out a pen and paper and write down every single thing you do and every single thing you think about. Now, granted, this is going to slow you down. It's going to make things painfully slow for some of you. But that awareness of all the things that go into that creative process allows you to celebrate all of the decisions you're making, all of the information you're processing, all of the things you're doing, and at the same time, hopefully provide you some insights and awareness as to the rationale behind some of those decisions or the need to give up on some of those processes or decisions. I hope you have a great week behind the camera. I hope you get a chance to get out, make some really cool photographs, spend time with family, friends, and loved ones. Don't forget, you can always provide a review up where you listen to the podcast, help other people find the podcast. That would be great. We'd appreciate that. Have a great week, and I will see you next time.